Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spiders. Okay, first off, I'm going to apologize in advance because there appears to be a cricket loose somewhere in this room. Usually I have crickets on hand. They're one of the feeders I use, and I have them in a bin, which I will remove when I go to do the podcast so they're not chirping in the background. There's been a couple episodes that I forgot to remove them, and I've had people comment that they thought a cricket was loose in their room, but nope, that was me. Unfortunately, in this case, apparently I know for a fact one escaped the other day, and I was like, oh, hopefully it won't be an issue. Well, here we are. I go to record, and I cannot find the thing. It's driving me nuts. So I'm going to apologize in advance for people that may be driven insane. If you can hear the cricket, I will try to edit it out in post. But, you know, sometimes you just, no matter what I do, you can still hear that little cricket sound in the background. So luckily, I talk so darn much and so quickly that usually I stamp out most of it. So, well, fingers crossed I'll be able to do it this time. So to kick this one off, first off, for the folks who responded last podcast, we talked a bit about the piece of Lotharia formosa I had that had the absolutely terrible molt. Well, I put the video up yesterday for those who are interested in actually seeing some of the footage of it, and the video has been going like gangbusters. I'm kind of shocked. I put this one up and I figure a couple people would be interested, but a lot of people have asked me about what to do when there's a bad molt, and this was the first opportunity I really had to kind of show how I would approach it, because again, I hadn't had that issue before. So for anybody that wants to go over and check out that video and see a little more about what I was talking about, you can actually see the spider before I cut away some of the pieces of the molt, before it broke off its own pedipalps. You can kind of see what I was dealing with. I also got some footage of it eating, which I absolutely, some of my favorite feeding footage I've shot yet, because hopefully if it continues to eat, it fattens up, it gets the strength it needs to molt again, and it will repair itself. So that's up. A couple people have actually already popped over and said, I heard the podcast on it, but it's totally different seeing the spider. It is sad. I mean, I will say flat out, it's not. And that's one of the reasons why I wasn't too keen on recording the whole thing. Generally, when something like this happens, my first thought isn't, hey, let's grab the camera, set up the lights, and get some footage. I shot the footage, so it's not as good as the stuff Billy does. She's much better at doing that. But I was kind of working, and I just paused for a second, took some, you know, images of her, got some video of her, and then continued working. But long story short, people have been dying to hear how, you know, it happens. You have the bad molts, and people want to hear what to do about them. So this is just my example. Again, obviously, I'm no expert at this, because this is the first one I've had this extensive amount of injuries to because of a molt. I mean, I've had a leg caught, I've had, you know, the carapace stick, I've had some abdominal skin, never had anything quite like this. So I'm glad I'm not glad the spider went through this, but some good will hopefully come of it, and people will realize, all right, not all is lost if the spider goes through a terrible molt like this. So fingers crossed, she's not out of the woods yet. As I stated, I think the last podcast and during the video, a lot of times when they have a bad molt, the next molt doesn't go very well at all. So we'll see, fingers crossed, that she heals up. I will say one of the comments that I received on that video was somebody who said theirs lost, I think, one pedipalp and a couple legs. I don't have the comment in front of me, but it had been severely damaged and it grew the legs back with the next molt. So that's what we're hoping for, some little skinny, gangly, you know, replacement legs next molt, and then the molt after that, hopefully she'll be up to full speed and be perfectly fine, and she'll be getting a nice new enclosure, and she's definitely earned it. So another thing is, I just want to apologize for the lateness of the podcast. My allergies have been through the roof lately. I mean, I think part of the problem is I'm allergic to a lot of different plants. Where we just moved to, it's gorgeous. There's just woods, a lot of woods around us, which I adore. But of course, that means my allergies are going to be going off. And I sat down on Saturday to do the podcast. I thought about doing the podcast, sat down, and I couldn't stop sneezing. As you can hear now, I'm pretty stuffed up. Yesterday, same thing. So just in the future, know that I always shoot for Sunday. Sunday morning's usually when I record them. Every once in a while, I do a Saturday, but lately I've been doing the Sunday morning. Just know that if it's delayed, it's not because I'm being lazy, or it's because probably my allergies are through the roof and I don't feel like having to blow my nose 20 times through a podcast. It just doesn't make for very good. It's hard to get any flow going when you're discussing something, when you keep pausing to sniff and keep having to edit out the sniffs and stuff like that. And I know nobody wants to hear that. So that's why it's late today. Now, the first topic we're going to talk about today is one that I just feel like the need to share because I'm pretty upset about it, but I knew it was coming. My Homeoma chilensis, my Chilean flame, whatever, I can't remember what the common name is. One of my favorite tarantulas in my collection, one of the first tarantulas I ever held, just one of the most adorable, cute animals I've ever seen. One that I've, you know, I used to use that when people would come over and be afraid of tarantulas to kind of show how gentle they can be. It was one that was, you know, just a magical little spider. Well, unfortunately, she passed a few days ago. I kind of knew it was coming. And just to spell out what the issue is with the chilensis, a lot of the ones that came into the hobby were, actually the majority of the ones that came into the hobby several years ago were all wild-caught specimens. And what would happen is people would go out, they'd gather females. We had no idea how old they were. A lot of them were fully adult females. I've had a couple of them in my collection fully. They were full size when I got them. You know, they're not a spider that it's putting on any more size or significant size with molts. They weren't molting very often. And unfortunately, what happens is when tarantulas get old, usually what happens is they molt, and a lot of times if they don't have problems with the molt, they just don't eat again. They waste away. This is what happened with the queen. She molted and just wouldn't eat after that, and that was it for her. Well, with this one, I believe the last time she molted was about 3 years ago, maybe even closer to 4 years ago. So obviously, it had been quite a while, and during that time, she ate like three crickets. The first couple, I think it was like a month after she molted or so, she ate three small, very small crickets, didn't eat again for months, ate one more cricket, and that was it. So four crickets total. She was by no means, if you see pictures of these guys, they're fat, plump. They almost remind me of A. calcodas when they get, you know, super plump. And unfortunately, mine never got that way again. She molted. She was obviously thin after the molt, barely put on any size, and then a few weeks ago, she surprised me with another molt, and I'm like, oh, no, I know where this one's going. I just knew. There was no way she was ready to molt again after, you know, not eating for, oh, God, it had been over a year, I think, year and a half. So she molted. She seemed to be in good shape. She was walking around her enclosure. She had done a little bit more digging. She actually ended up in my hand again. And again, I want to make this very clear. I do not go looking to handle tarantulas. It was something that came up where somebody was asking, like, or saying that I handle. It's not that I handle. We're talking, I have 200 and something tarantulas here, and there are maybe a handful of ones that I will let climb into my hand, and then I put them immediately back into their enclosure. I'm not playing around with them. So I just want to make that clear. It's just, there's ones, and for me, a lot of it for me is just, it's adorable, and it's like, it climbs out my hand, it sits there for a second, I put it back in, like, that was cute, and I move on. It doesn't happen very often at all. So I just want to clarify that. I am not an active handler. I don't want to get into the whole hand. I've said before, you know, I get why people do it. I try to stay hands off because of the amount of, you know, potentially defensive or world tarantulas I work with. You practice good habits. That when you do that, that way when you're rehousing and one of them goes to bolt, your first reaction isn't to stick your hand out there. But there's certain ones, and this is one of them, I'll say flat out, this is one that really helped me get over my fear of arachnophobia, and that's a huge deal for me. So I do get where the handling thing comes from. For this one, it's kind of like a little bonding thing. One-sided, obviously, I'm bonded to her, she could care less about me. But anyway, she molted, she crawled out my hand, she was adorable, I put her right back in, dropped the cricket in, she shied away from it, and dropped another cricket in, later took that one out, dropped another cricket in a week later, nothing, came in the other day, and she was sitting there, looked adorable, and just something about the way she was sitting there told me that something was wrong, and sure enough, I opened it up, and she had passed. So, really bummed about that, one of my absolute favorite spiders. I wish I had gotten more footage of her because it's one I'd like to, you know, obviously in the future talk about. And unfortunately, and this is one of the reasons I'm kicking myself in the butt right now, is there's been slings available a few times over the last several years. And I know it's a slow grower. And I'm like, you know what? I have my female. I don't feel like growing up teeny tiny slings right now. And it was so stupid because had I purchased slings the first time I saw them, and I did, I had them in my cart and I was going to buy two of them. And I'm like, nah, I don't really need more of these right now. There's other spiders I want to pick up. If I had picked them up, I probably would have had at least a beefy juvenile by now, if not a young adult. You know, that was probably 6-7 years ago. So kicking myself in the butt for that because I would have had, you know, I hate to use the term backup, but I hate when I have beautiful spiders in my collections that I adore. They pass and then you're left with nothing. It's like a hole in the collection. And again, this one of my all-time favorites, one that I talked a lot about early on, one that a lot of people are currently searching for. I can't tell you how many emails or comments I get from people going, hey, could you please tell me? Because I think there's this belief that I have this like secret connection to get all these rare tarantulas. I don't. I do. I shop just like everybody else. Again, I buy all my own spiders. I don't like taking freebies. I will go out and buy spiders just like anybody here. And unfortunately, when somebody asks me, do you know if anybody has these for sale? And if I have the time, what I will do is I'll go to some of the dealers that I've bought from and I will check and see if they have them in stock, just like anybody else could. There's no secret. I have no secret pipeline for these things. So unfortunately, this is one that I will be keeping my eyes open for. And unfortunately, it's one that if I find teeny tiny slink, they really are so small and they grow so slowly that it'll probably be it'll be several years before I can show off, you know, what they look like as young adults. But again, really bummed about this one. And unfortunately, that's what happens. And I'm realizing now, I was talking to Billy the other day, that a lot of my collection is getting up there in age. Like, I have a lot of specimens that are getting older, and there's a chance that they're going to start passing on. So it's weird because they do live so long. And I think that's something you start to take for granted with some of these guys, that they kind of feel like they live so long, they're going to have them forever. But keep in mind, there are some females that live, you know, 8-10 years or so, or 8 to 12 years, which is a huge span, but that goes by very quickly in the hobby. When you're picking up other spiders, suddenly you look down and go, oh my God, this one's 12 years old. So I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm hoping to pick up more, and definitely really a gaping hole in my collection, because this is a spider that I absolutely adored. It was huge in me getting over my fear of tarantulas. That right there makes it really close to my heart. The good thing is I have the Homeoma species blue that acts a lot like this girl. That's kind of going to fill that void, I think, with just having the cute little spider that I can pretend like she likes me as much as I like her. Because again, they don't really have feelings for us. So let's make that very, very clear. But even those of us who are very attuned to that idea can sometimes get caught up in the fact that you go, all right, you know what? I think she does like me. She doesn't. She doesn't care. It's a one-way street, but I'm totally okay with that. So that's a bummer. Moving on, though, from the one of the smaller tarantulas in my collection to the largest tarantulas in my collection, I am working on a video currently of the biggest tarantulas I keep. And the idea of this one is because I think a lot of us, when we get into the hobby, it's the whole bigger is better thing. At least it was for me. I'm sure other people weren't that way. And I have spoken to other people like, no, I was actually looking for smaller ones. I like dwarfs, and totally get that. But I think for a lot of us, we get in, and the idea is if you're going to keep a big spider, you're going to try to keep the biggest spider. And that's when a lot of us do our research and we start finding out, you know, we know about the T. blondii. A lot of people come into the hobby knowing about the quote unquote Goliath bird eating spider. They've seen it on nature shows. They've, you know, looked up what is the biggest spider, and they've seen that in the Huntsman, and they immediately want the big spider. And then they read that it can be here comes the size of a dinner plate, and they take out their dinner plate and go, my Lord, this is 12 inches. That's a big spider. And the quest begins to have one of those big spiders. And then for a lot of us, what happens is we look up the Theraphosa species. We realize they are probably they're the biggest tarantulas you can get out there. But we start looking into the care, and we see the moisture dependency and the hairs and the fact that they can be a little more, you know, a lot of people will rate them as advanced species. And we cool down on those a little bit, but we still want a big spider. We start doing more research. What can we get that's this big? And then we discover the Lazy Adora parahibana, the salmon pink bird eater, and go, why wouldn't somebody just get this in the first place? Because we find out supposedly they're more laid back than Theraphosa species. We find out they can get as large as the Theraphosa species. We find out that they're excellent growers. They're big. You see them. They're big, beefy spiders with that black base coat and those pink hairs around. They're just amazing animals. So we start looking into those. And then we get a bird eater, and we grow it up, and we realize, hey, there are these ones called Pamphibidius out there that supposedly can give the Theraphosa a run for the money. So we look at them. Some of us go and we find Formictopus, and we see that Formictopus can supposedly get big. And this is where things get interesting, because this is one of the biggest questions I get when I do a care video, is somebody will come on, inevitably, somebody, and not one, more than one sometimes, how big does this spider get? And they will be disappointed if I say, like, well, technically speaking, this gets to be, you know, 5 inches or 6 inches. Obviously not these species we're talking about, but other species. And they'll go, oh, well, I read this one can get 8 inches. And there is this thing in the hobby where we try to A lot of us are guilty of exaggerating the max size of our spiders. I've seen it many, many times before. I've long talked about the fact that with the L. parahibana, when I picked up mine, people said they could get 10 to 12 inches, which I guess in theory they can. And there are some big specimens out there. I did finally see a photo somebody sent me of the molt next to a tape measure. The molt itself was 10 inches, meaning that the adult was obviously over 10 inches. It could be, you know, when they get big, they don't put on as much size. So it could be like 10 and a quarter, but still that's bigger than 10 inches. That's a huge, huge spider. So they can get that big, but is it common? No. And that's where I think we run into problems, where we talk about the max size of these spiders and we dwell on what is the absolute max size and don't look at realistically what we're probably going to be looking at for max sizes. And that's where people get disappointed. It happens all the time. I posted one up the other day. What the heck species was? I think it was G. pulchropes, which is supposedly one of the largest Gramostola. And then you read things that say they get to be 8, 8.5 inches. Now, is that realistic? Well, I guess they live a long time. And if a female continued to molt through her adulthood and put on just a little bit of size all the way, I guess they probably could hit 8 inches. But is it common? No. You see usually 7, 7.5 inches. That's still a big, beefy spider. Same thing with the LPs. You know, can you get a 10-inch spider? Yes. Am I hoping mine turns out to be a 10-inch spider someday? Yes. Is she going to hit that anytime soon? No. That's the other thing I think we sometimes lose sight of. These spiders continue to grow through their entire lives. So if you have to consider an LP that supposedly can live upwards of 20 years, say she molts every few years after she hits adulthood, she's not going to be putting on those, not going to be making those massive size gains you saw early on when they put on, you know, 1/2 inch or sometimes even 3/4 inch. And when molting, you're going to see much smaller size gains. So suddenly, say she molts in a 12-year period, say she molts 4 times, she may pick up 3/4 inch. So it's one of those deals where, yes, in theory, some of them can get that big. It's not realistic all the time. And what I wanted to do with this video, and that comes back to the whole point of what I'm doing this for, is to kind of realistically say, look, here are those big species that everybody talks about. Here are the ones I have. Here's how long I've had them for. And here's the size that I have on mine. Now, is that to say people don't have ones that are larger? Nope. Is that to say that people don't have ones that maybe grew more quickly than mine? Not at all. We just did that video in the podcast on my fastest growing species in my collection, and it was an eye-opener to see, you know, how many people reported tarantulas that had ridiculous fast growth rate that I did not experience and other keepers did not experience with their same species. So there's obviously differences there, but in this case, it's going to be, all right, here's the deal. Here are the big ones. Here's what I'm reporting as far as growth. And it isn't going to be me guesstimating, because I try to underestimate when I estimate the size of something, because I've seen so many videos out there where people will show a spider off and you can kind of tell the spider is like a 7-inch spider or so. And they go, this one here is obviously pushing 9 inches. And like, wait a minute, I want to see a tape measure next to that. Or the LP, I had somebody the other day with the LP comment that theirs went from, what was it? It was a 1/2-inch sling to a 7-inch specimen in a year, and it was now 15 inches. And I'm like, buddy, you're going to need to send me pictures of that, because that's Guinness World Record spider stuff right there. That is literally the biggest spider on the planet. So let's see some pics. Now, obviously, there was some exaggeration going there. I don't think the person knew they were exaggerating. I don't know if they meant to exaggerate. I think we sometimes just look at these massive spiders and go, oh, that has to be 9 inches. That has to be 10 inches. So the idea of the video is to take the molts, measure the molts out, diagonal leg span from the tip of, you know, back foot to the tip of the opposite front foot, get an accurate measurement of it and kind of guess where they are from there. And I say guess because and we'll get into this when I get into the individual spiders, certain specimens are going to hit that 8-inch mark and they're going to slow down quite a bit. There are a couple other specimens that rhyme with Theraphosa species that will hit that 8-inch mark and continue to make great gains, size gains, anytime they molt. So it gets to a point where you can look at, you know, two spiders that both have molts that are, say, 8 inches. They might have put on totally different amount of size during that molt. One might be closer to 9 inches, one might be 8 1/4. You don't know. So, but we're going to educate a guess and at least have a more accurate idea than just looking at a spider and going, that spider there is 9 inches, that spider there is 10 inches. So I'm hoping with this video that for folks that are interested in the giants, they'll get a realistic idea of what to expect when they get their giants, you know, as far as the growth rate early on, as far as, you know, what is, you know, it's 7 years, what is it going to look like? 8 years, what could I be looking for? Stuff like that. So that's the only reason. And plus, I think it'll be a fun video. It's the one thing I've been trying to do more lately. Realize the error in some of my ways is I've avoided anything fun like the plague only because I really like to do the educational stuff and I don't ever want it to appear that I'm trying to, you know, trying to be sensational or, you know, produce clickbaity stuff just to get viewers. However, I realize there's a way you can do stuff that's fun, that's also educational, and that's what I've been trying to do a little bit more of this summer because, again, it's... I'm just turning away people in some cases that might have otherwise found my channel through one of those one of those more fun videos. And I've had people say that, you know, oh, I actually found your channel because you did the feeding video and I really liked that and it was informative. And I looked at other things. So I looked at, you know, whatever some of the other fun ones. And I have to kind of cognizantly be aware that, you know, although I'm not trying to be an entertainment channel or trying to be an entertainment podcaster, you know, I don't consider this entertainment, it doesn't mean I can't be entertaining and have some fun stuff. So that was one of the things that kind of got us discussing with this with Billy the other night going, yeah, it was kind of a dink with my whole avoiding that. There's got to be a way to meld the two together better. And again, bring more eyes over to the channel that are looking for good material because there's a lot of bad stuff out there. So anyway, going into the list, here are the spiders that I covered and hopefully people that have these species will chime in as well in the comments and let us know, you know, what are you seeing with yours? What are your max sizes? And please make it accurate. Don't just guess. This is the fun of this game is actually getting the tape measure out. I love measuring molts. It's one of my favorite things is try to guess. I look at the molt, I try to guess, and usually I undersize them. The other day I looked at one, I go, man, what's 5.5 inches? I put the molt on the tape measure, it was 7.5 inches. So I was way off. So please feel free to chime in with pics of yours because, again, I don't want this. This isn't just about me. This isn't me going, oh, this is exactly what you can expect. This is me going, this is what I see in my collection. And then other people add in and chime in what they see in their collections. And just a funny aside on this one, I was originally going to shoot this video by myself, set up a stationary camera and do some stuff. And I had to have Billy come up and help me with it. And God bless her. The woman's amazing. She came up on her birthday. I'm like, I asked her like 2 days before or said 2 days before, I'm going to need your help with this video. And on her birthday, she's like, are we shooting anything today? Are we doing that video today? And I'm like, it's your birthday. And she's like, I don't care. So we went up and did it. And unfortunately, I totally screwed the pooch with my comment. I kept messing it up. So this one's going to take me a lot of time to edit because I screwed up. I might have used some curse words at some point. I tend to get goofy when things go wrong. So this video, I'm hoping to have it out this week to kind of, you know, go with the podcast so people that see the podcast or listen to the podcast can go over and watch the video. But we'll see how it goes when I get to editing because Billy did her part beautifully. I kept screwing up. So just a little aside there. But anyway, first species we looked at, one of my all-time favorites, Formictopus cancerides, the Haitian brown. Now, we got the molt out for this one. These guys, when I first got them, everybody talked about how they get to be 8.5 inches or so. I do think that could be possible. And I, if I'm not mistaken, somebody a few years ago sent me a molt of one of their females. It was 7.75 inches. It was an older female. So I do think 8 is possible, but mine now I've had for about, I think it's 8 years. And I got them as little slings. Right now, it's at 7 inches. The molt is at 7 inches or 18 centimeters. And so I'm guessing she is anywhere right now between 7.25 and 7.5 inches. I would guess more 7.25 because if I remember correctly, the last time this one molted, it was right around 6.75 or so. So she's putting on smaller size gains now. She's obviously an older female. And that's one of the reasons why I want to bring up the age in this because they do slow down growth once they get to adulthood. There is a point, although they continue to grow their whole lives, there is a point where they are adults and they're pretty much, you know, right in that area of the maximum size they're going to be. So obviously these ones grow very quickly. They're one of the species I covered in my fastest growing tarantulas because that first year they can easily hit 5 inches. You can have a little teeny blue, beautiful blue sling. They go through this one molt in the middle where they put on massive size. And then before you know it, you have a 4 or 5 inch looking young adult, which is awesome. And obviously these are the guys that I picked up that created my love of the genus Formictopus. So Awesome spiders. Can't say enough about them. I've, you know, done obviously a lot of talking about Formictopus, and we're going to have quite a few Formictopus on this list. But I do want, with a lot of the different types of Formictopus getting out there now, I do have some observations about how the growth rates differ between the different species. So P. cancerides, newest molt, the oldest, probably the oldest female. I think there's one other one that might be a little older, but this one's 7 inches, right? 7 inch molt, probably pushing 7.25 to 7.5 inches total. So it's still a big beefy spider. The next one up we measured was the very similar looking Formictopus atacromatus, or the red, I think Red Island bird eater or something like that. Again, this one is right around the 7-inch or 8-centimeter mark, or the molt is. So I'm guessing this one looked like it might have put on a little more size. So you have to guess. I'm guessing right now she's probably about 7.5 inches or so. Obviously, it could be anywhere between 7.25, 7.5, I think would be an appropriate estimate for as far as how big she is. Now, this one, again, was a fast grower for me, but I've spoken to other people that said their cancerides grew much more quickly than their atacromatus. Mine, funnily enough, I don't know if that's a word, oddly enough, there we go. Mine were actually more shy than my cancerides and much more laid back than my cancerides, especially early on. But I picked them up almost a year after I picked up this cancerides, and they caught up to it rather quickly, or both of them. I have 3 atacromatis, I have 4 cancerides. My atacromatis caught up to my cancerides rather quickly, so it seemed to be a little faster growing for me overall, but I don't know if you're going to notice that much of a difference because, again, a lot of it is that growth in that first year. Both of them put on massive size the first year, ended up going from little slings, like 4.5, 5 inches or so. So a lot of growth that first year. I think where the cancerides slowed down a little bit after that, the atacromatis still continued to grow a little more quickly, but again, 2 spiders, very similar in appearance, very similar in size, both right now probably pushing 7.25 to 7.5 inches. And that, don't get me wrong, that's still a large tarantula, but a little shy of that 8, 8.5 inches that some people talk about. Now, the next spider is a member of the genus Lasiodora. That would be the Lasiodora itabune, or itabune scarlet, or something along those lines. This is the one that I completely underestimated how large she was. I thought she was a bit smaller, so I'm glad I took the molt out. But this one, unfortunately, I did not get as a sling. I got it as an unsexed juvenile. I think it was about 2.5 inches or so, several years back from Ken the Bug Guy. And at that time, I was convinced it was going to be a male. It obviously was not. She's become one of my favorite spiders. She's the one my son Roan actually did a report on for one of his science reports for school. So he absolutely, he's always asking about how the spider is doing. But for this one, the molt was 7.5 inches or 19 centimeters, which puts her very close to 8 inches now. I would say 7.75 to 8 inches would be a good estimate for how big she is now. So that's a big spider. That's a really big spider. And I think what threw me off is she is in an enclosure right next to another spider that's coming up, another Lasiodora species that is seems much bigger and much beefier than she is. She's less beefy than my Parahibana, and a little more leggy than the Parahibana, which makes her look a lot smaller. But 7.75 inches is nothing to sneeze at. Really big spider. One thing I've noticed with this species is early on, their overall coloration is a bluish coloration. And the booties are like a bright red, which is really particularly prominent after a molt. Unfortunately, last molt, she kind of lost some of that bluish sheen, so it's more of a black coloration, but still, she spent many years, I've got pictures of her up where she's almost looks blue, which was really incredible, but she still has the bright red hairs on her abdomen, which is fantastic. So awesome spider. If you can find these guys, they pop up every once in a while. I would definitely encourage you to check one out, because I would say these are definitely a true giant. Big, big, beefy, great looking spider. So the next one kind of shocked me a bit. They look huge, and they're one of the ones that I knew they were big. I didn't realize they were this big. And it just, I think part of it is because they're so leggy, especially compared to other spiders in this genus. Well, we're talking about my Formictopus species, South Hispaniola, or quote unquote, the green femurs. These guys just molted. I have one just molt, 7.75 inches on the molt. That's a big molt. So 7.75 inches or 20 centimeters, I think it is, for the molt. We can anticipate or guess that the spider now is probably 8 inches. Well, I would say undoubtedly at least 8 inches, possibly 8 1/4 inches. So 8 to 8 1/4 inches. So that one hit that mythical 8-inch mark. That's a big spider. I would consider 8 inches is definitely a giant spider. These guys just really grew about the same speed as my Cancerides for the early on, but they continued to put on massive size with each molt. So the Cancerides, they hit a certain mark for me, like around the 6-inch mark. And then after that, they didn't put on as much size with each molt. It didn't molt as frequently. These guys seem to put on a lot of size with each molt. I know the molt before this one, I was shocked at how leggy she was. And then this one, she just molted. Again, big, huge, leggy spider. When she spreads out, it is quite impressive. And of course, she's got all those beautiful colors. Now, I will say, when for years she had the quintessential Formictopus species green femur coloration, where she had the green only on the femurs of her legs, she had the golden kind of carapace color, and then the red hairs on her abdomen. With the last molt, the red hairs, she's still got some faint red hairs on her abdomen, but her carapace has darkened up quite a bit, and the green seems to extend a bit further than her femurs now, and the green is also a darker green. Earlier on, it was a more vibrant green. This is a darker green that you kind of have to get under the right light. So I will say she's an older female. I think she's about 7 years old or so. So an older female. So one that is probably she's an adult female. So any gain she makes from this point on will probably be smaller, but I don't think it would be unrealistic for this spider to eventually reach 8 1/2 inches, maybe even 8 3/4 inches. So again, that's a really big spider. And again, what I can't hopefully it'll show up in the video. Billy got some great footage of the legginess of the spider is very impressive. Reminds me a bit of like some of the Pamphibedia species or even Zanestis, like just very, very leggy compared to some of the other ones. A little thinner, a little smaller body, big legs, lots of legs. So Formictopus South Hispaniola, big old spider, definitely one I recommend for anybody, you know, any Formictopus species, if you can find them, pick them up. But very excited to be able to show this one off in the video because she's definitely become one of my big giant beauties. Now, the next one up, we've alluded to a couple times already in this podcast, so you knew it was coming, but definitely this girl is fantastic. Just one of the first spiders people see. I had a bunch of company over recently, and one of the first spiders people saw when they walked in the room and were in awe of, that would be my Lazy Adora Parahibana or the Salmon Pink Bird Eater. Yes, this girl is definitely, I'm hoping she continues to grow the way she has for me because her growth rate has been excellent. She is quite large. Her molt from the last molt, which was about a month ago, was 8 1/4 inches long. Actually, almost a little over 8 1/4 inches, but 8 1/4 inches on the molt. So I'm guessing that she is easily 8 1/2 to 8 3/4 inches, which is just shy of the 9-inch mark. Again, that's a guess, and we'll see. We will do this again, I think, once they all molt again and try to get an idea. I think that'll give us a much better idea how much size they're putting on at this point, which will give us even more valuable data to go, all right, last molt was 8 1/4 inch. This time it's 8 1/2 inches, and then we know she's putting 1/4 inch on, but she looks like she put on a lot of size with this molt. Sometimes they molt and they go, it looks pretty much the same as she did before. She does look like she put on a lot of size. So I'm guessing she's right around the 8 3/4 inch mark, which is a big, big spider. She is also very, very beefy. I put her molt next to the spider's molt that is coming up next, and hers looked a lot. Everybody, we had at one point, I think I said this in an earlier podcast, I took all the molts out, I put them on paper towels and wrote the name of the species and the size on them and took pictures of them for the video and left them on the counter. So the kids and Billy were all coming down, and first Billy's like, why are all the tarantula molts on my counter, my kitchen counter? But then we all looked at the sizes and we're comparing them, and everybody said that this one looked like the beefiest of all the molts I had up there. So big, beefy, dark black coloration with those pink hairs. It stinks because I just did the video featuring the fastest growing spiders, and a lot of these guys were basically in pre-molt. She was the one in the video, actually, that I dropped a cricket in to try to get her to feed, and she batted the cricket away. And her colors, where they start to brown out a little bit as they get further and further from their molt. But when they just molt, they are jet black with those pinkish, those salmon pink hairs. They give them their common names. Just a gorgeous spider. Again, the size of her, the girth on her is what's most impressive. And she's pretty laid back overall, which is nice because she's a big girl. If she was crazy, it would be a little scary. But definitely one that's showing me they can get big. Now, again, she's not really near that mythical 10 inch to 11 inch mark that everybody talks about with them, but she's not all that old, and so she can continue to put on great size. We'll just have to see how big she is the next time she molts. If I'm not mistaken, her last molt that I got from her was 7 3/4 inches, so that means she put on about a half an inch in size with that one. So if she puts a half inch on size with this one, again, that puts her in the 8 3/4 inch mark, which is pretty good, which means the next molt she would possibly be pushing 9 1/4 inches, which I, again, that's a big giant spider. So again, this is, oh, and I should mention with this one, this is not the one I raised up from a sling. This is one Billy bought me for my birthday about 9 years ago, maybe. I don't know, I lose track of time. And she was a 3-inch sexed female. So she had already come to me with quite a bit of size on her. So I can't take full credit for raising this one up as a sling. The one I raised up as a sling is about 8 inches right now. So definitely big spider. And I can say now that those that are getting LPs, you can expect to have a really large, impressive spider to show off to your friends, to admire, just because, again, with the big spiders, it does, part of it is that awe factor with them. I think we can't exclude that. A lot of them, it's just looking at a spider. I still am in awe of them. It's all the years I've worked with spiders now, I've kind of gotten over that. You know, I kind of miss the fear I had of them, because with that fear came a lot of fascination. So I kind of miss that a little bit, but there are certain ones that are just so big that you look at and go, I can't believe I'm looking at a spider that's that big. And this definitely is one of them. So the next one we have up, I was trying to figure out which order to put these guys in, because they're basically the same size right now, but pretty positive this one is still going with the growth and will continue to outgrow the LP. That would be my Theraphosa blondii, or the infamous Goliath bird eater. This one's molt, again, was 8 1/4 inches, or 21 centimeters, so a huge spider. And unlike the LP that I've had probably 7, 8, 9 years around that, so I had it for quite some time, the T. blondii I've only had for a few years. So this one's still putting on massive size. If I'm not mistaken, the last molt I measured out was about 7 1/2 inches. So that means she put on 3/4 inch with this molt, which is still, you know, that's massive gains. And this is a species that we do have a lot of evidence that can reach 11 inches, even supposedly 12 inches. 11, I think, is definitely achievable. Again, you're talking about an older spider. It's not going to be, you know, within 2 or 3 years' time, but eventually with all the molting and growing, they can hit that 11 inch mark. So she's still right now having, I have another one that is in pre-molt right now that's going to molt soon. Hopefully that one's going to put on massive size as well. I still think that she's putting on a lot more size than the LP is with each molt. So I'm guessing right now she is closer to probably 8 3/4 inches to 9 inches easily. So I'm guessing right around, you know, I would say that's a really accurate guess. But again, we will see what happens when she molts next time, measure it up. That'll give us a better idea. But this one's still fairly early. Obviously, it's a young adult now, but it's still fairly early in its life cycle. I mean, these are guys that a breedable adult, you're looking at something around 9 inches or so. So I'm guessing there's still plenty of growing left to do, but this one is likely the largest one in my collection right now. It's a toss up between that one and the LP, but I'm going to go with the T. blondii as being the largest one at this moment. And I'm guessing after the next molt, it will be absolutely undebatable the largest one in my collection. I have raised Sturmies before. My female T. Sturmie that unfortunately passed away was 9 3/4 inches when she died. The male was around 9 1/2 inches, around that size when he passed away. So they, 9 inches is not a difficult spot for them to reach, and 10 inches shouldn't be a difficult spot for them to reach either. There's a reason why these guys are called the Giants, and it's because they get that big. And obviously, some things to think about is I have the T. apophysis, which is another one that supposedly there was a male out there that reached 13 inches in leg span, and that was confirmed. Now, if that's the case, that would make it obviously bigger than the blondii or Sturmie, and even bigger than the huntsman spider, which I believe gets to be 12 inches. I would love to have one of those, my God. So that's one that we'll keep an eye on. Now, for a couple spiders that I wasn't, that I need to include, but I did not have the molt, unfortunately, one of them molted right before we moved and I lost the molt in transit, but I did measure it and didn't get pictures of it beforehand. That would be my Pamphibidius antinus. This is a spider, again, that I picked up as a, it was a sexed female around 3 inches at the time, so I can't talk about the early growth of it, although I will say my Pamphibidius species durans grew like weeds during that first year, so I'm guessing she probably did too. However, this one, the last time she molted, the molt was a solid 8 inches, which is a big beefy spider. So I'm guessing right now she's probably 8.25 to 8.5 inches or so, which is, again, a very big spider. Now, compared to the Theraphosa species, the Pamphibidius, at least my antinus, is much more leggy than girthy. Even compared to the L. parahibana, she's just a very leggy spider. So a lot of that size is in the legs. I will also say my Pamphibidius species, Araña Pollito, or the chicken spider, just molted. And for that one, the molt was 7.5 inches. So she's probably pushing 7.75 to 8 inches overall. So another big spider. And she's also put on some, the color on her is just astounding. She came out almost jet black, sleek and jet black, like, you know, one of my favorite molts of any spider I've ever seen, because I just wasn't expecting that from her. But she's also a big spider. So Pamphibidius, can they give the Theraphosa and Lasiodora a run for their money? They sure can. They're definitely spiders. I would not be shocked to hear of a Pamphibidius species that hit 9 inches. 10 inches, is it possible? It doesn't seem unachievable for certain specimens. I just don't think it's probable, but I guess that could happen. So again, they're big spiders regardless. Anything in the 8 to 10 inch range is a big, big, big spider. So I think sometimes we get hung up on the actual numbers and don't look at the fact that regardless of what number is on that tape measure, you still have a huge spider in front of you. And then two others I want to cover, although they're arboreal, but I do think they need to be address because they are bigger and they are talked about quite a bit. Pisolitheria regalis, when I picked up mine, a lot of people said they get 8, 8.5 inches. That's probably doable. I will say mine just molted. I've had her now for 7 years or so, and her molt is 7.5 inches, so she is probably pushing 7.75 inches. I don't think she made a lot of gains. She doesn't look much bigger, but I have seen pictures of larger females than that. That just mine, that's where mine is right now. So that's still a big spider. And then my Pisolitheria rufolata, I've heard and I've seen, you know, people post that the females can get to be 10 inches, which is obviously a very big spider. It would be one of the biggest arboreals. Mine right now, the last molt was 7.75 inches. So they are big spiders. That means they're probably right now around the 8 inch mark or so, which again, huge. Will mine get to that fabled 10 inches? Probably not. Could they get to 9 inches? I think that's definitely attainable. They aren't all that old. They're probably about 4 years old, I think, when compared to my P. regalis. They're, you know, probably half her age or almost half her age. So they're younger spiders overall. They seem to be putting on decent size with the molts. Right now I'm fattening them up. Next molt should be interesting. I'm hoping to get, you know, a nice big, you know, molt we can measure and we'll see what it is. I'd like to see them break that 8 inch mark. I'd love to see it like an 8.5 inch spider, because that's, they really are, when they lay out and stretch out in the thing, they are big spiders. And unlike some of the other terrestrials, and that's something that we don't always talk about, stretching a spider out is very impressive, but spiders aren't usually stretched out. When they walk, they don't walk with their legs completely stretched out. They're kind of bunched up when they walk. Their legs are kind of curled into them, into their bodies. So a 10-inch spider doesn't look nearly as big when it's actually walking around as it does in molt format. The nice thing about the pokies is a lot of times they do that pokey pose where they stretch out the front legs one way and the back legs the other way, and they lay completely straight, and it's really easy to get a measurement on them like that, and it's really easy to get an idea of just how big they are. And I will say with my rufolatas, they do that pose quite a bit on the side of the plastic, and it's impressive to see them all splayed out like that. So those are the ones I covered in this one as far as my giants. Are there other spiders out there that can get that large? I believe Zanestis species can potentially reach 8 to even 9 inches. I'm guessing 8's probably the more common, but I'll be very curious because mine have been growing like weeds in size comparison as far as Theraphosa and Lazy Adora and Formictopus and Pamphibidius. They've been keeping up that first year. They've been right up there with Theraphosa as far as growth rate. So we'll have to see how those go because that could be another one to add to the list. But unfortunately, without an adult right now, I can't comment on that. So those were the ones that I was able to cover that I'll be covering in the video. And hopefully that'll just give people a realistic idea of, all right, here's what you could expect. Could they get bigger? I'm sure they could. Could they grow faster? I'm sure they could. But this is what I'm seeing with mine. So at least that's a good idea of what to expect as far as growth rates, so you're not surprised when they don't hit that mythical, you know, 12 inch mark in a couple years. I did have a couple with that video with the fastest growers. Somebody came on and said they had a Theraphosa apophysis male that matured out in a year, which I found to be like ridiculously fast. I don't think they're lying. It's just that's really fast for a spider of that species to mature out. But hey, I guess it can happen. So it'll be interesting moving ahead. Again, my goal will be down the line when these guys all molt again to do the exact same thing again, because then we will have really good data as far as this one went from 8.25 to 8.5. This one went from 8.25 to 9.25, whatever. We'll have better data to see how much they're growing in between those, you know, molt cycles. So hopefully with it being as hot as it's been in the tarantula room, we'll get faster molts this time and we'll be able to do this video sooner than later. Although I will say a couple of these big guys just molted within the last month, so I think it's going to be a little while. So this is something that'll probably be a year off, but I'll be looking forward to it. I'm curious myself. This isn't just something that's like, hey, this will be a neat topic. This is something I'm kind of curious about. I'm kind of obsessed with growth rates and love trying to figure out when something molts, again, guessing how big it's going to be and then measuring. I love that kind of stuff. So I'll be looking forward to doing that in the future and hopefully you guys will too. All right, so that will do it for this one. As always, you can find me on tomsbigspiders.com. You can find me on Tom's Big Spiders YouTube. Remember, if you want to check out the video of that piece of Lotharia formosa, the bad molt, that's up now. Not pushing anybody. This isn't like shameless promotion. It's just I know some folks like to go over from the podcast and see the actual video of it, and I do think this is one of those situations where seeing video of it, it makes it a little clearer just how dire her situation was. That'll do it for this one. As always, guys, stay safe, and we'll catch you all next time.